RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Thanks for joining me this Sunday here from the Haunting Hour this week. The series had originally aired from March of 1945 to May of 1946, produced 52 episodes for NBC, would be syndicated later on. There aren't always air dates for each episode of this series, like our show today, but here it is, A Tale of Darkness.
This is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour.
Because he doesn't want them to.
But why? What happened to Chip?
Oh, I don't understand what happened. I'm afraid. It can't be true, I said. It can't. But it was. So the time came when I had to tell Chip. I had to tell him the truth.
What truth?
How could I tell you? Any moment now they may come in here and say he's dead. death is real. What happened to Kit is not real. He would not believe it.
Tell me.
He's too young to die. His blindness, it did not make him sad. In the evenings, we'd sit in the parlor, and I'd read to him, or he'd go walking in the park. It was his world, a very happy world. Then, last December, you came to write this story, and by Christmas time, your newspaper had given him the dog.
But Kitty made Kit happy. They were thrilled.
Oh, yes. He loved Kitty. But then that night came. That night he first saw her in the park. I had been waiting for him because I had some very good news. He opened the door, and Kitty gave me a little bar. As he always did. And Kitty's face was bright with a new happiness I'd never seen before. He said, "Granny, the most
wonderful thing has happened."
I know, Kit. Dr. Cousins is here. He thinks he can make you see. Oh, my boy, what wonderful news. You're to go to the hospital again for a few treatments.
Oh, she's brought me luck. Granny, look at my face. What are you seeing?
A light shining in your eyes. Because now there's more than hope.
Yes, but there's another reason. Tonight, Kippy led me down a path in the park to where the waterfall is.
A waterfall in the park?
Granny, she was there.
A girl, Kippy.
Yes. A voice is so soft, so full of a kind of sadness that, well, I can understand.
But does she know you're blind?
No. It's dark. Maybe now there'll be no need to tell her. Maybe she'd be my girl, Granny. Then I'll have two of them, won't I? You and her.
So the next night we went to the park again, and Kitty led the way. How many times have I heard Kit describe that place? There was a narrow path winding between high boulders for a little way, and then it opened on a most unearthly spot, where a stream tumbled down in a fall, and grass was there, and a feeling of moonlight on the water.
What's the matter, Kitty? Impatient? So am I, but she'll come in a little while.
I'm already here. Sitting quite near you.
Oh, Kitty saw you even in the darkness. Here, come on. Come on, boy, run along.
Sit down beside me.
All right. You've been waiting all day, very impatiently, till we could come again.
I like it here. I come often and wait.
Who are you? Tell me your name. I want to know everything about you.
No, please. I'm a little bit afraid of your question. Can't we be content with this meeting here? And knowing at least we have a place that belongs only to us. Here in the darkness.
I won't ask again.
Well, then we can meet again. And still again before the winter comes. Kitty, come here, boy. Tell me good night. You see? You understand.
My flesh grew cold when he spoke of her. For it was the dog Kitty that led the way to her. There in that ghostly place made remote to us by a wall of time. Kit saw her time and again. Then the day for the operation came. And the night before, he met her beside the waterfall to say goodbye.
Well, I'm going away only because I want to be worthy of you. I want to feel as if I have a right to tell you. I love you so very much.
No, yes,
I do love you. And I don't even know who you are. I promise you'll tell me when I come back.
But you may never come back. I may never see you again.
No, don't say that. It isn't true. Maybe I shouldn't leave you at all.
Oh, yes, you must go. I don't have a right to keep you from it. I couldn't.
You know where I'm going?
I know all about you.
In my blindness?
Yes, I know, but now I want you to have eyes like other men, to be like other men.
Why? Tell me now, please.
No, we must wait. Oh, if you love me, have faith in me, too.
Yes, but suddenly I'm frightened. I have a terrible feeling I may never see you again. Well, what's the use of eyes if I can't look at you? Oh, my darling, promise. Promise. Tell me you'll be here when I come back.
I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Now, good night. Good night, Kitty.
The next morning we went to the hospital. Kit was happy, impatient for the operation to be over. And that afternoon, as I waited here in this room, thinking over and over again the thing that had happened, I slowly grew sure of what I believed. Was it such an impossible thing to happen after all? How could I ever tell him? Yet the legend was so clear in my mind. I didn't stop to think how happy she made him. I thought only that he must never see her again.
But how could you stop it?
There was a way. It made me shudder to think of it. And yet there wasn't anything I wouldn't do for Chick. I knew I could destroy the dog.
Oh, no.
It had been Kitty who led him to that place, to her, the city. Without Kitty, he couldn't go back again.
But how did you know?
I went to the park myself. I talked to all the caretakers. I said, where is the waterfall? They thought I was a crazy old woman. Then I cried to Miss Kitty, lead me to it. But it was no use, because there is no waterfall in the park.
But there must be.
No, no, it's true. I was so worried, so afraid. Then on the night before they were to take the bandages from six eyes, Kitty slipped away. Secretly, I hoped he'd never come back.
Then he did.
Toward midnight, a scratching on the door. And there he stood. I knew he'd seen her, for he was like a ghost dog come out of the night. And about his neck, he wore a collar woven of beads. Silver beads. He had woven together and put about his neck. And I was sure what I had to do. The next morning, I went to the hospital.
Granny. Oh, Granny, Granny, look at me.
Oh. Yes, you can see.
A little. More than a little.
Oh, my boy. Blue eyes. Such pretty blue eyes.
Please, Abby. They said you could. I want to see him, Granny. I want to see you and him. All day. Just look at me.
Tomorrow.
No. Please, Granny. Oh, what's the matter? Let me have it, Abby.
No.
Tell me, Hack. What is it? Granny, where is it?
Oh, my boy. How can I tell you? A few days ago, I led him out in the back courtyard to play. Someone had put some meat there for the wood rat. It was poisoned. Kitty is dead. Am I a foolish, superstitious old woman? What else was I to do? I thought only of what was best for Kitty. Then that afternoon came. Only the day before yesterday, he was sent home. And he left the floor waiting for the night. At last he went to the park. I sat in that house 4 hours. 5. He came back alone. The second night he tried again. And the third, tonight, he walked the paths trying to remember where Kitty had led him. Finding nothing, no waterfall, no girl beside it. And he came in, his face was drawn, his eyes moist and sad. And he said,
Granny, I don't know what's happened. I can't even find the place where we met. It was low, and there were huge rocks there, and a stream. Well, why can't I find it?
It's all my boy.
I've gone over that path dozens of times. I even closed my eyes trying to find it. It just isn't there.
No, it isn't there.
What did you say?
Oh, if you can't find it, then surely it doesn't exist. It's a girl now. You can see again. This girl doesn't matter.
She matters more than anything else. What are you trying to say?
Only what I'm sure is true.
Something about her. Granny, tell me.
But it can't matter now. You've got your whole life before you now. If you never see her again, you'll forget her. You will, my boy.
Christina, you know who she is.
Oh, no.
What is it? Tell me.
I don't know. It's just that. Oh, I can say. Listen to me. When I was a little girl, I heard many stories. Legends of my people. Your people, too. One of the legends stayed in my mind, sharp as an arrow.
Granny.
This girl. Didn't you know she's an Indian girl?
No. Why do you say she is?
Because it's true. The silver collar. Woven of beads. Oh, my boy. The most impossible thing in the world has happened. You've fallen in love with a girl 5 centuries old.
Hospital. Light shines out into the foggy night. Inside, a young newspaper woman listens to the story of Chick Simpson, who lies unconscious in a nearby room. The story comes from the lips of his grandmother, a very old, dark-skinned woman. It was Chick's dog, Tippy, who had first led him to a waterfall in the park, where Chick met a girl whose name he never knew, and with whom he fell in love. Later, Chick underwent a successful operation on his eyes, and when he could see, his first thought was to meet his girl of the waterfall again. But Chick's grandmother had grown to believe this girl to be the ghost of an Indian princess. In an effort to free Chick of his ghostly love, she told him Tippy was dead, and without the dog to lead him, Chick could not find the place where he'd met her. His grandmother has just told him he has fallen in love with a ghost 5 centuries old.
He was the daughter of a chief. The people lived north of here long years ago, when it was wilderness. She was in love with a young warrior, and when he deserted her, she took her life in a waterfall. So the legend was that the gods had no place for this girl of the silver water until there was another warrior whose love would release her spirit from the silver prison of the stream. Oh,
Granny, that isn't true. You don't believe it.
Only now, when you can't find her. And she vanished like the ghost she is.
But why? Why? She knew I was coming back.
But now you're like other men. You have eyes. And Tippy isn't here to meet you. Chick, where are you going?
I'm going to look until I find her. I'd rather be blind again since she was a part of my darkness. I could be with her. I'd even rather be dead.
He ran out of the house. I went after him as fast as I could. Then I saw the taxi coming down upon him. He lay on the pavement in the light of the street lamp, in the gray fog of the evening, and his eyes were closed again. So they brought him here, to the hospital. Now you know why he'd rather be dead.
So that's how the accident happened. But this girl, how can you believe
it? What else am I to believe? You see, my grandson's full name is Chickamauga. After my father, a red man. Chick's mother was an Indian princess.
Listen, we're going to make Chick want to live. Somehow we've got to find the place where they met. We've got to find this girl. Mrs. Simpson, where is Tippy?
Downstairs. I went home a little while ago to get him. I thought when Chick regained consciousness, if he could see Tippy.
There's no time to lose. Chick may die before we can find her. The collar you spoke of, the silver collar, where is it?
Around Tippy's neck. I didn't dare take it off.
We'll get a taxi at the side door. If Tippy led Chick to this girl, Mrs. Simpson, he can lead us to her, too. Even if she is a ghost.
This is the place. Just yonder. By that street light. That's where Chick always went in the park.
Stop there, driver. By the street light.
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy, Tippy. You're a good boy. I'll take that silver collar now. There, Mrs. Simpson. Holy. I'll open the door. Driver, have you got a flashlight?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Park's dark. Foggy. You'll hit $5. Enough for it?
I guess so, lady. It burns kind of dim. You better try it.
Just so it works. Here's another dollar for the fare. Keep the change.
Thanks very much.
Mrs. Simpson, which path does Chick take?
That one there. Let him walk. I used to walk with him before people came.
Come along, hurry.
He listened to him. He's impatient. Can he know what we're trying to do?
We'll find out. Seems to get a little way down this path.
That is so useless.
He won't leave us there. Tippet was
good boy. Good boy. You know what we want, don't you, boy? Look, here's your collar. She made it for you. Where is she? You know, don't you? Lead us to her. Now, the collar, boy. Go on. Go to her. Look, he's running up the path towards the moon. Tippy! Here, boy! Here, boy!
He went that way, through the trees.
But they're already up the path. Tippy!
I heard him.
Where?
Over yonder. He found her.
Are you afraid?
No. Well,
come on. We'll see if she's a ghost.
Tippy! Here, boy!
He's over there. The other side of those rocks.
Wait. This must be the place. There's a high boulder and a path between them.
Come on.
Listen, do you hear it?
Yeah,
it sounds like it is. It's a waterfall.
So that's a waterfall? Good boy, Tippy.
But it's not a waterfall at all. Only the overflow from the moon.
Yet it's a lovely spot. The grass is thick and green, and the rocks make it a little cold, hidden away.
You could see its beauty in spite of its blindness. Look, this is where they sat. The smooth rock almost like a bed.
Where is she?
Yes,
where is she? I wonder.
Tippy!
Tippy! Take us to her!
Take us to her.
Come on, boy! We'll follow!
Look!
She's leading us away! Come on!
We've lost him! He ran so far.
Could he have come this far? Well, there's the avenue. He's led us across the park.
Look! Look there! On the other side of the street! Call him back!
Wait! Going up the stoop of that house. That one on the corner.
Besides,
I don't know. He's waiting at the hut door. There are no lights, and the house is dark.
Could it be?
Look, the door opened. He went in.
He went inside.
Does it mean? Tippy's been here before. Maybe when he managed to slip out alone, he's led us to her, Mrs. Simpson, to Tick's girl of the waterfall. Come on, let's see who she is.
How dark the house is. Yes. What is it?
I'm Helen Stringfellow from the Evening News.
Oh.
This is Mrs. Simpson. May we come in?
Oh, no. No, please, I can't see anyone.
We followed Tippy here. The dog you just let inside.
Is it yours? Oh, I didn't know.
It belongs to my grandson. My grandson's in the hospital. His name's Tick Simpson. You know him, don't you?
No.
He was in an accident tonight. He may be dying. Perhaps you can save his life.
But I don't know him. I don't. You've made a mistake.
You're the girl he met in the park. I know you are. Why do you deny it?
Me?
You are the girl.
But I'm not a... Leave me alone. I can't help you. Please leave me alone.
The Trick loves you. Why do you hide there in the dark? I tell you, you've got to come with us. I'll make you come.
No. No, go away.
Don't try to close that door. Mrs. Simpson, here, flash the light.
No, please, you mustn't see. Oh.
Oh.
That's why. Now you know.
Well, that makes no difference.
Oh, it does. Now Tip can see it. And he mustn't know. He must forget it. If the operation had failed, I would have met him there again as I promised.
Of course, I understand. But, child, there's something you don't know. The accident. Tip is blind again. Now will you come?
He's blind again? Oh, yes. Yes, I'll come. Gladly now.
He's there on the bed. Wait. Let his grandmother speak to him first.
Yes. My boy, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes,
Granny. Dr. Cousin says they're not to excite you, but there's something I must tell you, so you'll get well again.
I couldn't find
it. Will you forgive a clumsy old woman who loves you? I've died a thousand times for what I did. You see, I lied about Tippy. He's here beside me. He's here, too.
Did you sick? I've come back.
What is your...
Tippy found me. I didn't know about your accident.
I wanted to see you because of you. Now, club me all, but out of pity.
No, sir. Listen to me.
Her hair is golden like the sound of rain. And her eyes are blue, full of light, and yet full of darkness.
What are you trying to say?
She's trying to tell you why I stayed away after the operation, and you could see.
You mean that...
You're sick. You've been blind for 20 years. All her life.
But I didn't know her.
But soon you'll be well. And we can meet again by the waterfall.
Tippy. Tippy will be there with us.
Yes. And we can go on together, too.
Oh, I'm so glad it's like this. Now we can have our world back.
Mm-hmm. And it's a happy world.
Mrs. Simpson, we must leave them alone.
Yes. It's finished now. The room bright. Bright with their happiness.
Come along. I'll close the door.
Shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubt and fear. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
Our strange tale for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back next Sunday with another one. Between now and then, you can find more from The Haunting Hour, Strange Tales, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can donate through the website as well. Please consider doing so if you could. That's how this is all kept going. And as always, my thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.